Brother Jonathan Lawrence will give us the word of exhortation this morning. John, please.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. There are so many different aspects to this memorial service this morning. There are so many different things to think about and to remember when we come around the bread and the wine. There are a variety of levels of spiritual meaning that can be applied to this feast. Sometimes we can become bogged down in all the differences and all the meanings and all the levels in this service. Sometimes this service can be very impersonal and distant to our everyday lives. Now, each one of us, as we come around this table, comes from a different background. Each one of us is going through different circumstances in our own lives. And this is the challenge that we have before us this morning. It's to reach out and to focus our minds and our hearts on the true meaning of this sacrifice, to put aside our daily lives and focus our attention on the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come around this table together to see how individually we can do better in our lives, how we can better work together to show God's glory in this world. Our life circumstances are so different, but we all have one thing in common. The thing that holds each of us together is the life that we see before us on this table. No matter how different we are, we have this man's sacrifice in common in our lives. And that's what brings us here together this morning. And in the end, that's what's going to hold us together. This man who loved us and who died for us. A man who lived a life of example and sacrifice for you and for me. That's what brings us here together this morning. We come to remember a sacrifice made for you and made for me. Each of us are so different, but each of us are also so much alike. Now, this morning we're going to focus on three specific aspects. There are many more aspects to this sacrifice, but specifically three from each of our three readings. Now, hopefully each of these three aspects can have meaning for our daily lives as we go from here. We will see each of these lessons enacted in the Lord Jesus Christ's life, but also in the lives of the people that we will look at. The first one that we will take a look at is forgiveness. In our readings from Genesis that we didn't read this morning, Joseph shows us what forgiveness is all about. And again, that's a major part. It's on our minds as we come and worship here this morning. From the Psalms, we will look again at forgiveness, and we will also look at our living sacrifice. This feast is not necessarily about a death, but it's about a life lived and given for the glory of God. Now that needs to be reflected in our own lives as we go from here. And finally, from Romans, we have some encouragement and reminders of our position before God. The life that we live now is a life that does not belong to ourselves. So please turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verses 17 to 21. We have Joseph's brethren coming to him after the death of their father. Verse 17. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sins, For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph's brethren were terrified. They were so scared of what Joseph would do to them because of what they had done to him. After all that they had done to Joseph, they knew really what they deserved. So they came before Joseph and prostrated themselves. They came and left themselves. They put themselves completely at the mercy of Joseph. They confessed and they recognized the great evil that they had done to their brother. And how does Joseph treat them? Joseph treats them like the Savior that he foreshadows. First of all, he does not trivialize their sins. He tells them straight up what they did wrong and that they knew that they did wrong. Verse 20 says, But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Sin is still sin, no matter what way we put it. In all forms, it is abhorrent in God's eyes. Now, we had a reference to this in our Psalms reading this morning as well. Psalm 51 speaks to us exactly of this same idea that we're presenting here. Psalm 51 and verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. So we see the sin was not trivialized, but Joseph told them exactly the way it was. But that does not stop the forgiveness and the love that Joseph shows to his brethren in verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He treated them kindly and he comforted them, even though the evil things that they had done to him. Now here is a huge lesson for us in each of our daily lives. Firstly, are we willing to admit that we are wrong at some point? Are we willing to go to the person that we wronged and confess before them? Now, most importantly, in our daily lives, we need to do this before God, but we can also do this to each other. Can we swallow our pride and admit our own failures? This is something that is not very easily done, but it is the first step to forgiveness. On the other side of the coin, if someone does come to us and confesses a sin and apologizes to us, how do we treat them? Do we treat them with the love and the respect that we see Joseph did here to his brethren? Do we build them up and do we strengthen them and encourage them along the way? This is the example that we have of Joseph. And this is also the example that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us in his life. If we want to be forgiven for the myriad of things that we do wrong, we must also deal gently and forgive each other. There is no excuse for the sin that we do, but we are all sinners and we all need forgiveness. Here's a couple of references. Let's turn up a couple of references in Matthew and Luke, about how the Lord Jesus teaches us about forgiveness. The first one is in Matthew chapter 18. We can see this, the teachings of Jesus and how he preaches to us and teaches us how we should forgive and about forgiveness. So Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. So forgiveness must first come from the heart. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6, verses that we very well know, and I'll just read them for you. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, talking about our relationship that we have with each other. Let's turn over to Luke, two verses in Luke. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And a couple more chapters over, Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. The ultimate forgiveness that our Lord Jesus Christ showed us as he hung on the cross, as he sees around him the scribes and the Pharisees mocking him, deriding him. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now that's just a few of the examples that we see in our Lord Jesus Christ before us on the table. We have been commanded to act in this same way towards each other, as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, and as the Lord Jesus Christ acted in his own life. Without this response on our part, then we can have no part in the true meaning and significance of this sacrifice. Now, every single one of us falls into this category of needing forgiveness. We have all offended, or we have all been offended at some point in our lives. How do we respond, and how will we respond in the future? So let's remember this lesson of forgiveness and dealing gently with each other as we try and mirror the example of our Lord Jesus. Let's turn into our Psalms readings now and take a lesson from there. Psalm 51, verses 17 to 19. Psalm 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then thou shalt offer bullock upon thine altar. When we are remembering Jesus this morning, we are not just remembering some bread and some wine. We were not really remembering his death on the cross either. We were remembering his life, a life lived to the will of God. We were remembering his life given for the will of God. And we remember his body raised from the dead to life everlasting. This bread and this wine is about life and the living of that life to the will of God. This is about a living sacrifice. It's about our everyday lives, giving up our own free will to do the will of God. Our sacrifice is about a broken spirit. It's about taking this sacrifice and making it a part of my everyday life. Now, this is the attitude that the psalmist is speaking of, and this is the attitude that God is pleased with. And that's what we have been asked to do as we remember the sacrifice of our Lord. To live a life of willing sacrifice is what we've been asked to do. Micah chapter 6 speaks to us about this. It's about what our sacrifice looks like, what our lives should look like. Micah chapter 6, and at verse 8, very well-known verse. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That aspect of humble, of humility, of a broken spirit speaks to us from Micah. This is about action on our part. It's about doing something with the gifts that God has given us and giving them back to him. From the Psalm 51, it's about building the walls of Jerusalem with each other. It's about forgiving and dealing gently with each other that we looked at from Genesis and Joseph. These are the things that we can do that our God will be pleased with us when we do them. When we start to act the way that we say that we should, when we start to display the characteristics of Jesus, that's what our God is pleased with. And again, we have examples from Christ's life, from Matthew chapter 26. This is the way that Jesus acted, and this is the way that Jesus lived his life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 42. Actually, let's read verse 39 and verse 42. And he went a little further, this is Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And verse 42 again, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. When was the last time that we did this in our own lives? When was the last time that I did something that I didn't really want to do, but I did it because my God has asked me to? And because that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ acted. When we have free time to do whatever we want to do, how do we fill that time? Is it spent doing my will? Or do I take the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and put it into action in my life, into my daily life? Do we put our own desires to one side and do something for our God? Now that's what the bread and the wine is about. It's about taking the life and the body of Jesus and making it our own lives. A question that I like to ask myself sometimes is, how much have I changed since I was baptized? How much have we changed our lives to be like Jesus since we were baptized? How much have I let God into my life to change the way I live, the way I act, and the way I speak? Now that's what this sacrifice reminds us of today. It's about change in our everyday lives. And finally, from our readings in Romans, again, speaks to us again of this change, about a living sacrifice. I'm going to read you a section from Romans chapter 6. From a modern translation, and it really hits home, and it really makes it come alive. And I think the translator gives us a really good picture of what Paul is trying to say here. So this is Romans chapter 6. You can follow along. We're going to read 6 to 19. So Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Let us never forget that our old selves died with him on the cross, that the tyranny of sin over us might be broken. For a dead man can safely be said to be immune from the power of sin. And if we are dead men with him, We can believe that we shall also be men newly alive with him. We can be sure that the risen Christ never dies again. Death's power to touch him is finished. He died because of sin once. He lives for God forever. In the same way, look upon yourselves as dead to the appeal and power of sin, but alive and sensitive to the call of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not then allow sin to establish any power over your mortal bodies in making you give way to your lusts, nor hand over your organs to be, as it were, weapons of evil for the devil's purposes. But like men rescued from certain death, put yourselves in God's hands as weapons of good for his own purposes. For sin is not meant to be your master. You are no longer living under the law, but under grace. Now what shall we do? Shall we go on sinning because we have no law to condemn us anymore, but are living under grace? Never. Just think what it would mean. You belong to the power which you choose to obey, whether you choose sin, whose reward is death, or God, obedience to whom means the reward of righteousness. Thank God that you, who were at one time the servants of sin, honestly responded to the impact of Christ's teaching when you came under its influence. Then, released from the service of sin, you entered the service of righteousness. I use an everyday illustration because human nature grasps truth more readily that way. In the past, you voluntarily gave your bodies to the service of vice and wickedness for the purpose of becoming wicked. So now give yourselves to the service of righteousness for the purpose of becoming really good. At our baptism, we gave up our lives. We chose a new path for ourselves. We set a new goal and a new direction for our life. Our lives are no more ruled by sin and death, but we are directed by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we come to examine, to prove ourselves in the light of the life of our Lord Jesus. Now the question we ask ourselves is, how is my life shaping up? Have I begun to transform into a person that God would recognize? The time for change is now, and the time for action is today. The saying goes from Ecclesiastes that a living dog is better than a dead lion. Our opportunity to forgive and to be forgiven is now. Our time for sacrifice in our daily lives is now. The chance to live our lives in righteousness is today. We have such an amazing hope, brethren and sisters, before us. We have amazing promises that have been made to us today. Again, from Romans chapter 5, and I don't think these verses can ever be quoted or said enough. Again, from this translation, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Already we have some experience of the love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. And we can see that it was while we were powerless to help ourselves that Christ died for sinful men. In human experience, it is a rare thing for one man to give his life for another, even if the latter be a good man, though there have been a few who have had the courage to do it. Yet the proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Moreover, if he did that for us while we were sinners, now that we are men justified by the shedding of his blood, what reason have we to fear the wrath of God? Now these verses for me never lose their power and their significance. That's the love that has been showed for us this morning. That's the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ gave for us. Now the choice is ours as to whether we take this life and live it in our own lives. to live my life and lose it, or live this life and gain it. We have seen some examples this morning of just what we can be doing in our daily lives. We have seen how real people like Joseph were able to forgive those that sold him into slavery. We can see how he strengthened, how he encouraged those that hated him so much. We have seen in the Psalms how God is pleased with a broken spirit, those that give up their own will for that of God's. And we see in Romans how our lives are dead to sin, how our lives are now alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity, brethren and sisters, to serve the Creator of this universe. We have been given the chance to do something for the God that created us. From our hymn that we sung, hymn 102, God has stooped to ask the love of my poor heart. God has asked that we love him in the way that he loved us. And we see that love shown to us on the table before us, a living sacrifice. How can we possibly not take up the challenge to follow this example? So let's use this new week to manifest the love that has been shown to us in this sacrifice. Let's use this week to live the life that we are about to put into us.